The Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth, his second letter, and chapter 1 from verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. It'd be great if you could have the service sheet with this passage from 2 Corinthians in front of you. If you've got your own Bible, to open it at 2 Corinthians, there is an outline. And let's pray together, asking for God to help us. The Apostle Paul can write in these verses, "Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death." And at times, our Heavenly Father, it's been a real struggle to prepare. And I have felt very weak. Not quite to the point of death. But of course, this reminds us that we're to rely on you and your grace. And we're conscious that outwardly it can look very insignificant what we do, just with an open book, a few people gathered. But we remember that this is your word, your powerful word, and we are your people, and you have saved us, and we're indwelt by your Spirit, and we rely on you, not on ourselves. You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who raises the dead. So please help us to hear your word to us this morning, and please help us to be the church that you want us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me share an imaginary report on Trinity Church. The church continues to go from strength to strength and from success to success. Numbers attending increase every year. The church's work with children and teenagers continues to grow. There is no suffering or hardship or struggle. The church is popular in town, and those who speak are impressive and powerful. The church plant north of Buxton goes from strength to strength. And people admire the state-of-the-art modern buildings. It's a story of strength and success. What is authentic Christian life and ministry like? An accurate report of Trinity would be more mixed, wouldn't it? We've fewer adults, children and teenagers than 10 years ago. Fringe people are drifting away through the pandemic. We pray that they will come back. There's no church plant north of Buxton, though we've talked about it enough. The tower is a thorn in our side. And there's hardship and suffering in our church family. And Christian ministry at times, in fact, a lot of the time, feels like a real struggle. And there are lots of troubles. When I prayed that it's been a struggle this week, every week as I prepare is a struggle. And I feel like death at times. I told somebody in the church family that there were demons in my study. He didn't quite know how to respond to me. It's a real struggle at times. It doesn't feel like strength and success, but weakness and apparent failure. Let me say, praise God for so much evidence that God is powerfully at work. Praise God, in the midst of struggles and suffering and hardship, God's people are relying on God's grace and learning that His grace is sufficient. And groups of young people and students and adults are meeting together to build one another up in Christ. Isn't it? I mean, so insignificant on one level. Just a group of people opening with the Bible to study. But God's word, and we grow in Christ. And people are persevering with gospel hope. And God's people are loving and caring for one another. I delight to see, as I go around town, I see Trinity members walking around with each other. It's not just for fitness either. It's to build one another up in Christ. It's marvelous to see. There's the power of God at work. And unbelievers are still hearing the gospel. We'd love if it was more, but they are still hearing the gospel. So I want to ask the question, what is authentic Christian life and ministry really like? As we minister and serve together for the gospel, what should we expect according to the New Testament? Now today we start a new series in the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. And verse 3 should encourage us. It's a marvellous verse, isn't it? It's a verse for Christian calendars. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And it's wonderful, isn't it, in the troubles of the pandemic, to know the God who comforts us. But we need to understand the specific situation that the Apostle Paul was writing into. What was going on back then in Corinth that led the Apostle Paul to write this letter? It's the same actually with all Bible writing. We need to, so to speak, go back and understand the situation then that was being written into. We need to go to Corinth first before we come to Buxton Church life and ministry today. We read in Acts 18, the Apostle Paul visited Corinth. He stayed about 18 months. He taught God's word. He planted the church in Corinth, and then he moved on. But there were many problems in the church. And Paul wrote at least three, probably four letters to them. And God has preserved two of them to teach us today in Buxton. The main problem back then is what the church thought about Christian life and ministry as taught and modelled by their apostle, the Apostle Paul. And we'll see as we go through the letter that many in the church thought that Christian life and ministry should be a story of visible strength and success. And there were false teachers around, we'll meet them eventually in the letter, called super apostles, who taught and modeled strength and success. Visible strength and visible success. But the Apostle Paul taught something different, and his life and ministry modeled something different. Just glance down to verse 4. Where he talks about all our troubles. Now, one of the things we need to keep hold on as we look at this is to remember that when he says our troubles, it's not first and foremost to us. All right? Sorry, it's not first to us. It will apply to us. But it's the apostle saying our troubles, me and my apostolic band, Timothy, who he writes about verse 1. And in these verses, his troubles and hardship run all the way through, but so does comfort, what I call gospel comfort, and we'll come to that. In chapter 11 of the letter, the Apostle Paul lists these troubles further. One of the things that's rather odd in the letter is that the Apostle Paul keeps on writing about himself. And people misunderstand it and think he's just full of himself. There's a very specific reason that he does it. It's because he is the apostle and he's trying to teach and model something in contrast to these other teachers who are drawing the church away. Now, in chapter 11, he writes that in gospel ministry, as he sought to get the gospel out to the Corinthian church and other churches, he has been flogged, beaten, stoned, close to death, several times, shipwrecked, always on the move, in constant danger, from Jewish opponents, from Gentile opponents. He's unpopular, he's persecuted, he's driven out of towns, he's imprisoned several times, he's opposed by false teachers everywhere he goes, he's gone without sleep, he's been hungry, cold, thirsty, naked. In chapter 10, he describes himself and his ministry as weak and his speaking as amounting to nothing. Now imagine a church is advertising for a new minister. Would the Apostle Paul be the kind of pastor the church would want? Or as a friend of mine says, would you want the Apostle Paul to officiate at the marriage of your daughter? He's been in prison. He might turn up in shabby clothes because he's been naked. He might just have picked something up on the road. If in the interview he said, my ministry is weak and I feel like death. Is that the kind of person we want? How tempting, you see, for the church to want somebody whose life and ministry outwardly is strong and successful and popular, rather than one of weakness and apparent failure. So, firstly, in all the troubles of Christian life and ministry, because it runs all the way through these first few verses, in all the troubles of Christian life and ministry, be wholeheartedly an apostolic church. Look at the verses 1 and 2. It may seem insignificant, but actually it's very significant. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, your brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his people, throughout Achaia, that's the area, included Athens, there's a church in Athens. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds them straight away that he is their apostle. In other words, he is sent by the Lord Jesus to teach and write in his name and with the Lord's authority. That is the will of God. Now, he worked with others. It was the apostle and others, Timothy here. We might call him, you know, them the apostolic band or team ministry. These Corinthians, certainly some of them, many of them, wanted to distance themselves from the apostle Paul and the Christian life and ministry that he taught and modeled. And the question is, will they be wholeheartedly an apostolic church? Will we be wholeheartedly an apostolic church? Now, interestingly, we've already said this morning that we will be. Do you notice that? We believe in one holy, universal, apostolic church. We've just said that. That is, we wholeheartedly believe the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we wholeheartedly follow their practice in Christian life and ministry. That's what that phrase means. Now, as we emerge from lockdown, we're having a church consultation. We're asking leaders and groups to review what they're doing. And it is very important and essential. Indeed, I think it's a great opportunity to review what we're doing and how we're doing ministry. We want the gospel to go out to unbelievers, young and old, more and more. And we want to grow disciples of Jesus who can grow others. That's what we're about. And we want to do it in a safe way. There's lots of issues facing the church, the evangelical church in this country and in our denomination, about how we do this in a safe way and secure way. But as we reflect on what we do, we must not judge what happens at Trinity by worldly values and worldly techniques. It's so tempting to do that. In all the challenges and troubles of Christian life and ministry, let's wholeheartedly be an apostolic church. We're going to see that all the way through this letter. Then secondly, praise God that Christ suffers to comfort. In all the troubles of Christian life and ministry, praise God that Christ suffers to comfort. Let's just read these verses again. They're marvelous verses, and try to follow Paul's teaching, which is not entirely straightforward, but let's try and get the flow. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So God comforts. With what purpose? Look, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God. But where does that comfort come from for the apostle? Let's keep it just for the apostle and his mates. And what comes with that comfort that the apostle receives? You see, verse 5 links suffering and comfort to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Look, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ or in Christ, united to Christ, the comfort of Christ overflows. So I think the key thing to remember is that through Christ or in Christ, united to Christ, the Apostle Paul both suffers and is comforted. Because Christ suffers, he suffers. But as Christ suffers, so Christ can comfort him. And the Apostle Paul can comfort others with the blessings of the gospel. That's what the Corinthians had experienced. So praise God that Christ suffers to comfort. So that as we suffer, we can comfort others, and we can endure and keep going with gospel hope, as we'll see. So I think just as we look at these verses, we've got to be clear what this comfort is. What is the comfort? It actually comes 17 times in the letter and a lot in these first few verses. It's not just sympathy and kindness and a cup of tea, but let me say those things are very valuable. Comfort here is gospel comfort. It's the comfort of being saved by Christ and for Christ. It's all the gospel blessings that come from Christ suffering and dying for our sins. Gospel comfort. That God loves me and through Christ forgives my sin and frees me and reconciles me and makes me his child and gives me his spirit to strengthen me and help me in all the troubles of following him, and who gives me hope and he'll take me through death. You see, the comfort is gospel comfort. Now, I think the Apostle Paul clearly has in mind the prophecy of Isaiah. Because interestingly, in the prophecy of Isaiah, comfort keeps coming. And how does God comfort his people back then who are under judgment and bring them back to himself and his blessing? How does he do it? Isaiah 53, through the suffering servant that we know is the Lord Jesus, who must suffer and die for sins. So look again at verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, that has the sense of sharing abundantly, overflowing. As he suffers with Christ, so he is comforted with overflowing comfort, abundant comfort. And so he is able to comfort the Corinthians when they suffer. So Paul wants to see that his apostolic ministry is united to Christ in his suffering and the comfort that comes from that. And they always go together. Go together in apostolic ministry, they go together in the Corinthians, and they go together in us, if we're going to be truly, authentically Christian. Again, look how it comes out clearly, I think, in verse 6 onwards. Look at verse 6. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So he keeps tying them into. You know, he suffered to bring the gospel to them. He's united to Christ in Christ's suffering. So he's comforted. He can comfort others, the Corinthians and others. Remember, that comfort is gospel comfort. And they can have hope in Christ. Hope to keep going in all the troubles of Christian life. Hope to endure, to keep going. So suffering and the comfort of the gospel always go together in Christian life and ministry. Now let me say, as we apply this to the suffering that we experience, I talk about general suffering sometimes, and what I mean by general suffering is the general suffering actually everybody who lives in this world will experience. It's not just for Christians. Everybody's in a pandemic. People fail exams. We all got declining health. All of us are getting older. Now, for us as Christians, how do you know God loves you in the midst of a pandemic? How do you know God loves you? In the midst of a failed exam, how do you know God loves you? In the midst of declining health, how do you know God loves you? We don't look at the circumstances, do we? We must resist that habit, resist that temptation of thinking that our circumstances tell us about God's love. No, we look at the death of the Lord Jesus and we trust his word. That's how much God loves us, that his son was willing to suffer and to die for us. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. His spirit is at work in me. See, that is gospel comfort, isn't it, in the midst of general suffering. That's very precious to us. That's why we can't understand why those more people aren't Christians. But the apostle here has particularly in mind the suffering, troubles, and hardship that come with apostolic life and ministry, with bringing the gospel to unbelievers and building up churches that are faithful in a world that does not seem to want the Lord Jesus, and let me say, in a denomination that wants to adopt all kinds of worldly techniques and values. So it's the specific suffering, I think, here of trying to get the gospel out and building up churches that are faithful. Now, just think about, what did Jesus teach? In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily." Daily. Daily suffering, rejection. And imagine we're trying to get the gospel out to people, and I know this is the experience. If we side with Christ in a world that's rejected him, we'll suffer rejection. If we side with the Christ who is mocked, we'll suffer mockery. We will be all alone at times. We will feel deserted. That's what the Lord Jesus did. If we side with the Christ who was killed by the world, we too will suffer death. It will feel like death. And we need to remember at times, not just times, for many of our brothers and sisters around the world, it will be death. You see, the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, but as we suffer united with Christ, so we receive comfort from Christ's sufferings, gospel comfort. They go together. He had to suffer to save us. As we identify with him, we'll experience suffering, especially trying to get the gospel out and being faithful. But as we do that, we've got the blessing of gospel comfort. It's wonderful. So it's not just sympathy and kindness and a cup of tea, though I love to receive a cup of tea. It's gospel comfort. And we persevere and endure and keep going with hope. Praise God. And then thirdly, in all the troubles of Christian life and ministry, rely on God's grace through prayer. Verses 8 onwards. Now, in verse 8 onwards, Paul tells the Corinthians even more about his suffering and the comfort that he received from God. It's all on the same lines. Verse 8, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia." He says, "I'm going to lay it on you." Absolutely. "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death." Isn't that an extraordinary description of the apostle's life and ministry? It says he lived for Christ and he ministered for Christ. He felt he'd received the sentence of death. Now, literally, he was threatened with death many times. But I think it's also just the way he felt. It was really, really hard and demanding. So Paul was pushed way beyond his ability to cope. And he had to rely on God in all the troubles and struggles. Look at verse 9. "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." See, if you're threatened with death, what's the best thing that you can do? Or no? That the God who you believe in raises the dead. And that gives him hope to press on and endure. And of course, that God can help him whatever he faces. Now, at times, Paul has been delivered. Look what he says. "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again." Now, in other words, sometimes in this life, God did deliver him. In other words, he did get out of a tough situation. He did get out of prison. The people who were running him out of towns, he got away from them. He didn't die. Somebody gave him some food. Somebody gave him some clothes. Somebody gave him some money. And all through that, the Apostle Paul has hope. So even if it doesn't happen, he's still got hope because, of course, the God that he trusts and relies on raises the dead. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. So God granted the Apostle Paul grace, gracious favor to keep going. And that grace comes through prayer. Paul prayed. Look, the prayers of many, God's people prayed. The churches prayed. Why does God leave us so weak and full of troubles and struggles in Christian life and ministry? Well, we are united to Christ in his suffering and death. We're denying ourselves, taking up our cross. But in that situation, I have to rely on him and his grace. And of course, it keeps us praying. It keeps other people praying for us. You know, the testimony of so many Christians, isn't it? Is that we pray more when the going gets tough. Keep relying on God's grace through prayer. Let me say that in our ministry and life at Trinity, there are many troubles and challenges. I do think it's important to say that I think that in the life and ministry of any church, there are things that can go well for a season and things ebb and flow. But generally, there are many troubles and challenges because we are denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following him. And we're forced to rely on God and his grace and to pray. And to pray for each other, and to pray for different ministries in the church. And ministry will look weak. Don't we look weak on one level here this morning? No, I don't mean to be rude. You're dearly loved brothers and sisters in Christ. But outwardly, we don't look a very impressive meeting, and it's kind of made worse by people wearing masks and sitting at a distance. But it isn't very impressive, is it, to open a Bible and sit together and listen to the Word of God. But this Word is very powerful. Not me, but it is a very powerful Word, isn't it? And opening a Bible to share a verse that's helped you with somebody else during the week or as you walk along with people, I mean, it's been difficult, I know, but doesn't look very powerful. But actually it is, isn't it, to do that? There is a temptation for us and for churches, especially in the Western secular world, but actually not just there, to go for a version of Christianity that will look successful and strong, but doesn't involve being united to Christ in his sufferings and death. And let me just say that as we rely on God's grace through prayer, how else does God's comfort come? Through you. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from God. So gospel comfort comes through brothers and sisters in Christ. And constantly, we need to be looking for saying to say and do things that build others up in Christ in the midst of all the troubles and struggles of Christian life and ministry? I wonder that question I down so many times. You know, whenever we meet any Christian or involved in any group, what can I do or say, united to Christ in his sufferings and receiving gospel comfort myself, to help this person or this group or this church to keep going as a Christian? What can I do or say to build them up, to help them keep going? What can I do or say to love and support this Christian brother or sister to do that? It's what we are trying to do out there when we stand out there. You know, it's what we do when we sing. See? What can I do or say to help this brother or sister in Christ, this group, this church, to get the gospel out to others? Let me say, praise God that so much of that happens at Trinity. We've got to keep clearly in mind what God is doing in us and through us. We've got to look at things where we need to review and change and work harder. But praise God that he is so powerfully at work in us as we're united to Christ in his sufferings and we receive gospel comfort. Let's pray. Father, please help us to meditate on these verses further. They're glorious verses, and we do indeed thank you and praise you. You, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, the God who comforts us in all our troubles. We thank you so much that united to Christ in his suffering, we can receive gospel comfort, the blessings of Christ dying for our sins, belonging to you, our Heavenly Father, reconciled, freed, forgiven, and with a glorious hope. Please help us to comfort others as we have received comfort, gospel comfort. Please help us to avoid the temptations to not go the way of the cross. And please help us to rely on you in prayer, to know that your grace is sufficient, to pray for each other. Thank you that so much of the building one another up in Christ does go on. Please help us to do it more and more in the midst of all the challenges and difficulties of Christian life and ministry. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody is praying. Peter.